This is a Sound Rebel podcast.
To work with us on your podcast, go to soundrebel.co.uk. Over the Influence is no longer just a podcast. Our online community is buzzing with people like you.
I'm Allie and I live in Southern California. I'm a huge fan of OTI. Their joyful outlook on sobriety is what finally inspired me to quit drinking. I've been a member since day one and I'm rapidly approaching 365 days alcohol-free, which is unreal. I love that Ben and Shaz are not just the podcast hosts. They also openly engage with members during the multiple weekly Zoom meetings and interact on the community member forum. You will not find a more supportive group of people. There's nothing like this in the United States. I'm beyond grateful to be a part of the Sober Rebellion.
You've heard the podcast. Now join the conversation. Go to overtheinfluence.co.uk.
Welcome to this week's episode of Over the Influence. It is fabulous to have you listening. I listened back to last week's episode and the intro went on for the best part of 45 minutes. It was actually embarrassing. We just didn't start the podcast. Lovely, lovely man. He was just sat there for ages and I thought, right, keep it brief this week, Sharon. Keep it brief. My name is Sharon Hartley. I no longer drink alcohol. I have been sober for approximately 5.5 years and my life has improved immeasurably since I stopped getting sloshed, drinking too much, too quickly, too often. There's not one aspect of my life that hasn't improved. That's it from me. Ben Anderson.
Hello, I'm Ben Anderson and I no longer drink alcohol. It'd be 4 years in the summer, Shaz, which is come around quickly. I used to do things like sit in the pub and talk about, like, I used to climb mountains when I was a kid. I'm going to climb mountains again. But I just talk about it. And now I'm doing the National Three Peaks in September. And yes, you can text the word Ben Three Peaks to 70460 to donate £5. Text costs £5 plus your standard message rate. Can you believe that? I used to talk about it in the pub and now I'm actually doing it. And I would not be doing it had I not removed alcohol, because that's what happens when you remove booze. You do stuff that you said you'd do that you never did.
But yeah, it's because you're just so flipping consistent.
Yeah,
Ben, consistent. Yeah.
That's
Anderson.
It. That's exactly it. But I'm in training because I'm raising money for Older Hay Children's Charity, which is a cause very, very close to my heart, and it also means I've got to do it. You know, I've got to do the National Food. It's Ben. It starts at Ben Nevis, and you drive down to Scarfell Pike, then you drive down to Snowdon, do all three, biggest mountain in Scotland, biggest mountain in England, biggest mountain in Wales, bang, 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 one after the other. Anyway, we'll talk about that more later, I'm sure.
Yeah, we will.
I've got a target. I've got a hit. Anyway, I removed alcohol and now I do stuff like this. Whereas before, I'd just sit in the pub and then I'd wake up on Saturday and I'd be hungover. So I'd sit at home. Then I'd go back to the pub and then wake up on Sunday at home, hungover and stay at home and then go to work feeling like shit on Monday. But now I do
it sounds
stuff,
brilliant, doesn't it? I mean, when you go back over it all, it's like, God, what a waste of time.
Yeah.
As you were saying that then about sitting in the pub and drinking, our guest was, he was nodding there in agreement. We are chuffed to bits this week. And you know what we say when we get a community member on?
We love it.
They're our favourite episodes. We flipping love it. But this is sort of, there's a bit of a twist to this one. And I'm going to address it with you. I'm going to address the elephant in the room, Dan Ringshaw from Essex. First of all, how the hell are you?
I'm very good. Thank you both for having me.
You are more than welcome.
I know what the elephant on the Zoom is.
Go on.
Well, Dan, we met ages ago and you did one of my Zooms. And then you've been a community member for over a year and you've not done another Zoom. Was it that bad?
I think my blag is going to be that the Zoom of yourself, Ben, was so amazing. I almost didn't do anything else for the next year. So that's kind of my that's kind of my workaround around that. But
yeah,
no,
I like it.
Do you know what is? I think obviously we're going to my story hitting 365 and my year two, and definitely I think my year two now is going to be all about more connection, that sobriety community, and really pushing forward there. Because even though I've smashed year one and I've loved it and I've embraced it, it's been so much better than I could ever dream of, I also know that connection is something that I need to embrace more of. So you're bang on in terms of something I need to be doing more of moving forward.
It's brilliant. It says, and actually, before you joined the call, I was chatting to Ben, and we were talking about you behind your back, actually, Dan, but in a very nice way. But I was saying that your situation, your story really highlights the fact that it's about finding, one, something that works for you, but two, making it work for you. So if you felt you didn't need to join loads of Zoom calls and connect in whatever manner for that first year, c'est la vie, there's somebody watching this call, and I'm not going to name names, and this person joined the community. He's done like a million Zoom calls in about 3 weeks, on jumping on every call possible. But again, yeah, it's so important to do what works for you.
Yeah, it's so true. And it's even though I didn't join many Zooms or one Zoom, but the big thing for me was right from the early stages in terms of just meeting, even listening to the podcasts, going onto the forum and seeing kind of like-minded people week by week. And I think everyone would agree, I think at the early stages, it really helps you on that journey in terms of just saying, I'm not crazy doing this. It's not just me doing this. And it helps you kind of push through.
100%. I'm just reading Dan's lovely email, actually, Shaz. Can I read some of this back to you, Dan? We'll let you tell your own story in a minute, I promise.
Yes, come on.
But it's just a really nice email. You said, thank you. Morning, Shaz and Ben. Thanks for everything you do with the community. I'm one of those members who posts once every blue moon and only ever made it onto one Zoom. However, the support and strength OTI provides every day is fantastic and crucial in those early days. Now, when did you send this? This was mid-February.
Yeah, approaching 365.
I'm pleased to say, I've just reached 350 days, absolutely smashing life, and my year fast approaching have completely changed my mindset on drinking. Well, that's more than 15 days ago. You did it.
Yeah. I've done it. Yeah. Well, I've kind of got to that stage now where I'm almost like, oh, I'm a year two now. I don't count my days anymore. I think I'm like 380 or whatever else. But I'm probably downplaying in terms of the monumental effort in terms of from where I was just over a year ago to think that I could even navigate going over 365 days alcohol free, and also as well just the mindset changes in terms of how I approach life and look at life now, and everything from family to work to socializing, the whole shebang, really. So it's been a complete game changer of life, and like the expectations in terms of you start this and you go, right, what's it going to be like? I need to make these changes for my life and for my family because I know I need to, and you kind of delve down this rabbit hole of not knowing what you're going into and how it's going to be. And but yeah, it's been only great surprises and just really exciting, really, in terms of where it could lead to in terms of year two, three onwards. So yeah, buzzing, to be fair.
Absolutely amazing. I've also got some information here because I've been snoop dogging your posts, Dan, within the forum. And I hope you don't mind. And like I say, you know, only share as much as you're happy doing so. And before we go any further, big up your big bloody self. Your big self, your big bad self. Whatever I've got.
That's a new one. Big up your big bloody self.
I'll take that. I've not heard that one before, so I'll take that.
No, no,
why? What did I say? Big up your big bloody self.
Yeah, yeah. I'm a skinny Essex lad, so I don't really get called big much. So I'm taking that all day long.
Just have it. To hit a year alcohol free is phenomenal. It's absolutely phenomenal. So every credit. But I want to go back, and I've got some information here. And I know that Ben, you know, quite often says that nobody needs to hit a rock bottom. And I just want to just read this bit back to you, Dan, if you don't mind. You said here that I hit a complete rock bottom in March 23 and I knew enough was enough. It's sort of ages and ages ago, but not that long ago, isn't it? In the grand scheme of things. You know, when we talk about this time last year, that was your rock bottom. Talk us through that and maybe what led to that point.
Yeah, definitely. So I think for myself, I was someone that kind of grew up, good upbringing, went to school, good days, good friends, and probably very much I feel like boozing and drinking is hardwired into society in terms of from a young age, from kind of got to that age of 14 and that first introduction into alcohol in terms of over the park with a bottle of vodka or some awful cider or going to some house parties. And that's kind of my introduction into alcohol. And it kind of led from there. You get to your teens, your 20s, life's a bit more carefree, or definitely a lot more carefree, married with three young kids, definitely a lot more carefree than it is now. And even back then, I kind of only see now that my relationship with alcohol was excessive, is probably the right word, in terms of there was no crazy, crazy stories to a degree, but there was always the great times. There was always going out, drinking, that being the center of my life. And I kind of look back at it now and go, wow, like I used to play a lot of sport. Used to play football, would have liked to have played it to a better level, but never did. But Saturday, Sunday league, enjoying it with friends. Used to play a lot of sports, but kind of very similar to a lot of people, I think, especially from a bloke situation. Like you kind of get to your late 20s, you start moving away from sports because I'm going out Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night. And it kind of really progressed from there. And the way I see it is my kind of teens and 20s was that carefree, enjoyable drinking, lads' holidays, you're starting to meet people, your friendship group's growing, you're kind of really getting those great friendships that you kind of have for many years, which I've still got now. Very lucky to have a great group of friends from school that are almost like a group of brothers that all love each other and all take the piss out of each other 24/7 and have been quite supportive, actually, to be fair, in terms of that, what's happened with myself in terms of stopping drinking. And I think the big change for me was when I kind of crept into those early 30s. I was married and we started having a family. We had our eldest. And I think for me, the big difference was that alcohol was probably no longer as much fun. There was times when I was still going out and drinking, but my excessive behaviour continued. Just examples of always wanting to be the first one there, the last one home. And as those kind of 30s crept by, I'm 38 now. Young family, three young kids, a wife that's got a full-time job in her hands at home in terms of looking after the kids, working herself and a million other things. And even before I found life was getting tougher, I was already trying to be too excessive in terms of it'd get to 3-4 in the afternoon. Instead of thinking, right, you know what, to get another work done in the city and get myself home at a decent time, it was, you know what, I deserve a few beers. I'll work hard. Let's go and have a few beers. And one or two turns into 5 or 6. Some nights you'd be getting home at 7, 8 o'clock, missing dinner, exaggerating to the wife. Oh, yeah, no, really busy day. I'll be home in a little while, an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours. You then put in the occasional absolute blowout where you go out to early hours in the morning. And sorry, Shaz, to actually answer your question in terms of my rock bottom. So that kind of behaviour continued into my 30s. And the worst thing is I never really admitted to myself that that is a problem. I think a lot of my friends and a lot of people that in my circle were kind of getting themselves sorted out and going, I've had those party days. I can still have the occasional night out and whatever else, and they could be more sensible. Whereas for me, there's always that excessive sniff, and it comes with the odd argument. You wake up the next morning with that anxiety that we all have in terms of, oh God, what did I say that to that person last night? What did I do? 9 times out of 10, it's not even that bad what you've done, but then you then dwell on it for the next 2, 3, 4 days. And Ben, picking up from what you said at the start, then you then get through to early in the week. You're absolutely shattered. You're tired. You've got no energy. And we kind of got into COVID. I started a new job in terms of, I've worked in the corporate sector for years, flipped to kind of contracting in the commercial fit out world and starting a business from ground and rising it up with the added stress that comes. And kind of all I really done during that time was booze and alcohol become a crutch. So instead of using it as a bit of an enjoyment, whatever else, it become that crutch. Good day at work, celebrate it with a beer. Bad day at work, and there were more bad days than good days in the early start, you celebrate it with beers even, you commiserate with beers even more. And I then had quite a bad injury. I ruptured my Achilles tendon. I love to say it was in some kind of amazing football match where I scored or won the goal, but I'd been on for about 5 minutes and literally it just popped in the middle of nowhere. And then all of a sudden I was this kind of mid to late 30s man, thinking I was happy. In theory, I had it all. Amazing wife, three young kids, good job, great social set of friends and everything that I could think I could ever ask for. But inside I was miserable. I was kind of drinking too much. I had no energy, weren't exercising. And it kind of reached a peak, as in March of last year, where I kind of had one too many nights out, had a massive argument with my wife. She was really, really annoyed with me. I think it was almost like the straw that broke the camel's back. For a long time, she'd been asking me to change my behaviour, improve, get my priorities right. And I think that is my worst thing. My priorities weren't right. And I think what I love on some of the podcasts and discussions recently has been that kind of maturity or immaturity of drinking. And I think that was probably my worst attribute in terms of I was still in my head that 18-year-old kid that wanted to go out and party and go in the pub and socialise, whatever else. Well, I had a family sitting there, which is everything I ever wanted. So very, very long story short, it all come to a head. And yeah, early March last year, March the 1st, March the 2nd, I was like, enough's enough. Things need to change. And literally from there, I started having a Google. I kind of really didn't believe what I was going to do. I was kind of maybe for the first week or two saying the right things maybe to my wife and my family, because I was like, Dan, this has got to change. And I was probably doing it to maybe say the right things to them in the first week or two. But within that first couple of weeks, and I was very lucky to find yourselves online, literally went through the whole back catalogue of every single podcast. I was probably listening to about 4 or 5 a day within a month. Yeah, I was literally going for it. And within a month, I joined the community, signed up as a member, had that one sold Zoom call. And then from there, I was just very much delving into all things sobriety and changing my life, and went from there, really.
Oh, what an amazing story, isn't it, Matt? It just makes me go...
It is an amazing story. And Dan, this isn't meant to be offensive, so please don't take it. It's also a very normal story that we hear all the time.
Yeah.
You know, and it is, it's a story of how drinking started out as one thing, and then slowly but surely it ended up going one way, and it ended up being another thing. You know, it's really interesting, isn't it, that actually this is, it's not extraordinary what you're talking about. You're talking, this is happening to people right now across the country, across the world. They're in that situation where they're things up at home, you know, where they're having another argument. I mean, you know what, actually, Dan, and this is a question that I've pondered a few times. If you didn't have that person there, so in this instance, it's your wife kind of holding up the mirror to you, do you think you would have still got to this place?
Brilliant question. Probably not, if I'm being completely honest, because it kind of got to a stage where it was like, I've got two choices here. I can carry on down this path of drinking and going down that route of not getting my priorities right. In my head, thinking I was doing the right thing and I'm working hard, I'm busy. But no, to answer your question, I don't think I would. I think I probably just would have been still carrying on there as I am. Unfortunately, you see a lot of situations where people don't change and families break up, and then people get resentful. And I kind of think that's probably where, if I'd have carried on for much longer, be it a week, a month, a year, 2 years plus, maybe that's where my life would have gone. And who knows? You then go down that direction of, oh, poor me. It's not my fault. I'm like everybody else out there. I'm working hard. I deserve a few drinks. And then boom, before you know it, you're in complete self-destruct mode.
Mm. I think about it because, you know, Over the Influence came into my life at the right time. You know, it was a job. Shaz in a blouse, can you produce this podcast for me, please? Yes, of course. Hello, I'm my name is Sharon and I work for the BBC. And it took it literally, I reckon, a week until she was like, hello, it's me, Shaz, back again.
Are you going to do this work for us or what? Come on, I need a decent...
I'm comfy now, comfortable lounger now. That was definitely one part of it, but another part of it was absolutely that Jem was, you know, holding that mirror up for me. And I think that I would have eventually made that same choice, but I don't think I would have got there as quickly had it not been for somebody who I loved and trusted and respected to go, hang on a second, you're better than this. You know, this isn't you. Like, your drink, this is a substance that's changing the person that you are to me. And I needed that. I think I did need that actually at that point.
And I think as well, it's one of those things where for everyone, not everyone maybe has the in kind of like, right, we need to stop completely. But I think in my situation, by getting maybe to that extreme situation where I did, where it was like, Dan, what are you doing? It's been the best ever thing that could have happened, because just even now, a year down the line, my whole mentality of life, of alcohol, of socializing, of everything is just flipped on its head. And if you'd have said to me even day one, day 10, 2 weeks in, a month in of kind of trying to approach it and trying to kind of go, right, I'm not drinking anymore, I'm going to do this for my family. I probably always thought to myself in those early days, I'm doing this for my family. But a lot of people say is you're actually doing it for yourself. And I think the longer you go on that path, the more you realise that you are doing it for yourself first and foremost, let alone the opportunities it brings, the consistency, the contentment of life. I think they're the two biggest things I've mentioned in a few of my posts and bits, in terms of it's kind of taken me 9 to 12 months to realise that whilst I was so obsessed of getting to the end of the week and, I need to have a few beers on a Thursday night, go out to the same bars and clubs and restaurants and whatever else that I've been doing for donkey's years uptown, or going to the same places in the glorious places of Romford and whatever else when I was younger, but even just like just around Essex, London, you kind of look at it now and think there's so much more to life than that. And don't get me wrong, I still love socializing. And a big thing that I wanted to do from very early stages to say, I still want the best of me to still be out there. So kind of from when I made that decision to go, right, I'm going to do this and I'm going to set myself a 100-day target. And probably at the very early stages, I was saying 100 days, not really for myself, but maybe for everyone in my life, in terms of, you speak to your mates, oh, mate, why not drinking? Why not having a beer? I am the first one at the bar. I'm the last one out. So almost alien-like behaviour in terms of, oh, mate, what's happened? God, what's going on? But you kind of, I think it's that very much, like a lot of us are, that people-pleasing element in terms of that kind of like, oh, I don't want to be going out to the pub. And what people were like, oh, why are you not drinking? I was that first absolute idiot when people was on a night out and they weren't drinking. I'd be like, oh, why are you not drinking? Have a beer. I'll just have one. Oh, you're hungover. Yeah, I'll have one. Just, go and have one. Don't worry. What's the worst that can happen?
Don't drink.
Makes
me cringe when I think back.
Oh, seriously. I was, all those shitty sayings. I was the king of, do you know what I mean? Awful. The king of those sayings, that behaviour. Have one drink, buy you a beer. Don't worry about it. You'll be fine. Sort yourself out. And kind of in those early days, those first few months, I was very much like that in terms of I was confident of what I was doing. I was kind of really tapping into OTI and then starting to see other people that are out there and kind of just getting used to it. You still feel very alone, but you're connected in the same way. And my first few months was kind of that little bit of cold turkey in terms of I didn't have any independence to the physical booze. I wasn't like, I wasn't a case of, right, I really need a drink. I really need that beer to sort me out, that glass of wine, whatever else. It is more just a case of I'd be going into social settings and my mind would be doing overdrive going, oh, what's that person going to think that I'm not ordering a drink? And what AF options have they got? And that kind of people pleasing, worrying about what people think has kind of gone on for a lot of this year. And it's only really been the last 3, 4, 5 months that I've got confident enough to kind of go, do you know what? I don't really give a shit. If I'm out and someone goes, why are you not drinking? In the early days, like probably a lot of us do, oh, I'm being healthy at the moment. Oh, my health kick. Oh, I'm just trying to be, do this, do that. I've kind of got to that stage now and it's taken me a year to get there. I'm like, oh, yeah, no, I don't drink. And I don't say I'm not drinking forever, but I know in my heart of hearts that I probably never will, because there's nothing really good to come of it. And as that kind of year has gone on, you actually realise that life is better and all these things that you used to do and associate with booze, you don't need. And I'm a confident person in terms of I can go out, I can chat to people. I've had to do that with work for years, client entertainment, pitching and meetings and stuff like that. So I've always been, and it's took a long time to kind of build that confidence up and be happy to naturally do that. It's my first bloody podcast. So I'm actually a little bit nervous doing this, but
can bloody talk, so don't worry about that.
Oh, yeah, I can talk. My wife never want to tell you that. Don't worry about that. I can talk.
You carry on.
And it's kind of taken month by month, step by step, to get myself into a position where I am becoming more and more confident now in terms of I can go out now. I've got no desire to drink whatsoever. I used to, in the early days, in the first kind of 3-6 months, you'd be chugging back on 8 Erdingers or Corona 0%. And you know, it's like you get to about 2 or 3 and you go, oh, I'm actually done now. Or a Guinness 0% and everyone else is sitting there chucking the beers back. And I've got really, I'm so content in life now. I can go out now. I can have a great time. And I'm a bloody stubborn character as well. So it's kind of that thing now. If like, we hardly go out with my friends as much as we used to. We've all got families and kids and responsibilities. And it's taken me about 38 years to realise the right behaviour traits to have. But we go out few and far between. But when we have, I can go out and enjoy myself. And just really push through and kind of then that wake up the next day, You're kind of buzzing that you woke up. You're not ridiculously hungover. You feel great. I've got so much more energy with the kids. I'm a better dad. Hopefully my wife will say I'm a better husband. But yeah, no, all round in terms of she's proud of me. She's happy in terms of the changes that we've made. And it's made a fundamental difference to day-to-day life in terms of our family and just that consistency as well in terms of, all right, we all still have our bad days. We're all still grumpy. I've replaced alcohol with tons of chocolate and whatever else, and my sugar intake's probably going through the roof. But pretty much every day now, I've got that consistency. I'm not waking up being grumpy with the kids. I'm not just chucking an iPad at them and not doing anything with them. I'm trying to engage with the kids and do more. So yeah, all in all, so far it's been great.
I can't believe I've waited this long in the episode, actually, probably because I couldn't get a word in, to be honest.
Oh, I was going to say, I need to shut up a bit. I need to shut up a bit.
No, you don't.
No, you don't.
The perfect podcast guest. We want our guest to talk. your big bloody self. That's what I'd say.
That's what he's saying. Then what I wanted to say was, and like I said, I can't believe I've left it this long, is that when there's ever a young man on the podcast, and this makes me sound really creepy and weird, let me finish the sentence.
Yeah, look, I'm loving this. Big and young, so I'll take
big,
this all down.
Big strapping young man on the podcast in front of me here. No, it's fantastic, and I do feel like you're weird, proud Auntie Shaz, and I say it to, well, to, I'm proud of everybody that does this nonsense because it's not easy. But I think, you know, from what you're sharing with us as well, God, it's hard for the fellas. It's hard for women. It's hard for everybody. But yeah. in that circle when you've gone from being in your 20s and, well, hey, lads, isn't it all great? And then you do move through into your 30s and you are getting married and family, but you're sort of clinging on to that past, you know, where it was fun, you know, reference Craig Beck from the episode, I think it was in January, Dan, where he talked about there comes a time when you've just got to go, I need to grow up. I just need to bloody grow up. And, you know, I say this a lot. You have saved yourself decades of pain going forward. You're not going to fall into your 40s tired and bloated and miserable and repeating the same old. You've broken the cycle for yourself. You've changed everything. And when you talk, I can see me and Ben are just smiling on this call, as are our members that watch it as well, because you're fizzing with excitement for the future. And I think that is a truly, truly wonderful thing. So big up your big bloody self again.
No, and you know what? The Craig Beck podcast was amazing because it takes a lot to admit to yourself how wrong you can be in certain situations. And my other half has been saying to me for years in terms of, we've been together for, I don't know, she'll probably kill me if I get this wrong. We'd be married 10 years in this summer. We've been together probably 13, 14 years. I think at least 14 years. And probably right from the start.
You don't seem very sure, Dan.
Yeah, I know.
Check that out before it's released. You're going to be in bother.
I've got to give myself a bit.
We can do an edit. Yeah, yeah.
I'll give myself a bit of parameter. So if I get a little bit wrong, it kind of covers myself a bit. But yeah, I'll probably underplay. Like you say, like I'm probably in a situation in life where I've probably never been happier. If you spoke to me probably over a year ago, that the kind of my demeanour, my whole attitude would have been completely different. I'd be masking, I'd be putting on that pretense to a lot of the world and everyone in my life, but I wasn't. I've always been known as that kind of happy-go-lucky character, loves a chat, as you can tell, and always up for a laugh and a general positive character. But it's always your other halves that see the worst part of you, and it's always your other halves that put up the worst of you. And it kind of, the Craig Beck podcast I love, because I love just the frankness of just, like you say, grow up, like, yeah, and I think as well what I've learned is I don't look back of probably with 90% of what I've done and regret, because I feel like you do need to maybe go through these times. And I love those early days of the lads' holidays and out in the sun and whatever else. Ben, I don't know what you feel about this, but you kind of look at it, and Sharon as well, for you both, in terms of when you look back on those times, would you change that? Would you go, right, I would be alcohol free for all my life and never do it? Or do you look at it and go, I had those days. I wish I could have changed that behaviour a bit sooner, but I've got there in the end. That's a real dilemma I always ask myself now, in terms of what way would I, how would I look at that?
It, for me, and Chaz, I don't know if you disagree, but it's not a dilemma at all. And this first came up with Sarah Turner, the Unmumsy Mum. Have we done two podcasts with Sarah now?
One. Would you another?
Yeah. But we talked about exactly this. And I think for me, I can look back on it and go, in my 20s, I drank and it was fun and it enhanced the experience. In my 30s, I was drinking differently. I was drinking on stress and that was different, you know, and it was a change of behaviour. And it's the substance as well, but it's almost like two different versions of me and alcohol. And, you know, we don't berate drinkers here. We don't say that alcohol is evil and that everybody shouldn't drink. We say that for us, removing alcohol was a good thing. You know, a lot of people on this call, a lot of people in our community, a lot of people listening to this, we're all quite similar, you know. We wouldn't drink necessarily every day, but I tell you what, we didn't have an off switch when we did. You know, it's those kind of, and I think for me personally, I didn't even think about it in my 20s, but I don't regret drinking in my 20s, but I'm very glad that I removed it when I did, because in my 30s, it changed. Like it markedly changed. I was drinking on stress, but also I'd be drinking on my own. And I'd have three beers and actually I'd had six. You know, that was different. It was a different, I was behaving differently with it than I was.
Yeah.
What do you think, Chaz?
It's so insipid, isn't it, though? It just creeps up. Absolutely. I don't regret like my teens and my 20s and, you know, a good chunk of my 30s. But I suppose I've got one regret, like one massive regret, and that is just not doing sooner because it's so brilliant. And at the risk of sounding like a giant knob, a big sober bloody bore, isn't it brilliant? But it's true. And if that comes from somebody like me who was a big drinker, and I actually truly believe that alcohol defined who I was and my personality and life, you know, everything, it just became so central to everything. Like you, Dan, now. I mean, I'm 50 and I look back and I think, thank God you gave yourself the chance when you did. Otherwise, I'd have been tumbling into this decade now, bigger, bloated, more miserable, depressed, like just feeling generally flat with everything. I did not know that life could be this good without alcohol. Disclaimer, Dan, and Ben will be the same with this. Life still goes on. Of course it does. The tough stuff still happens, the things that you've got to deal with. But when you're dealing with it alcohol free, you can get through it all. You can get through it all. I just wish I'd done it sooner. And then this community would have existed sooner, and so would the podcast, and we can shout about it. I've never been as passionate about something ever, other than alcohol. That used to be my passion. And I've flipped it all, you know.
Yeah, so honestly, what you both have said, I couldn't agree any more in terms of what you both said. Like, I was defined by alcohol. I was speaking to one of my best mates, and he was saying, "How are you getting on? Oh, how comes you're doing it? How's things?" And kind of in the early stages, my close friends, he was like, "Oh, this won't last for long, mate. You go out, you drink. This is what you do." And as the weeks and the months ticked by, I think they could see that this is a change that I was happy with. It was going well. And I always remember my mate Dave saying to me, this is years back, we went to Australia when we was 24, whatever else. And when we was 21, I went when I was 21, was skint, come back after 6 months with no money, done the little travellers thing. And then we went back 3 years later with a few more quid in our pocket and loved it over Christmas and New Year. And I remember we was kind of like 3 weeks into this month-long holiday, and we went to Melbourne, to Sydney, up the East Coast every day, enjoying ourselves, meeting people, going out and about and stuff. And he got to about 2.5-3 weeks in, and we was on this bus going from place to place, and we got to this place, and it was probably about 11:30, 12 o'clock. I was like, right, boys, should go and get a beer somewhere. And I remember he turned around to me. He was like, mate, we don't have to have a drink. The first thing you think about every day is where we're going to have that drink. But at home, in my normal day life, I wasn't, okay, I wake up and I need a drink every day. I was very much that binge drinker, social drinker. And exactly like you said, Ben, when you then get into your 30s and stress becomes more and life becomes harder, you then resort to it more. But it's when he said that at the time, back, what, 14 years ago, I'd even blink about it. In my head, I was like, he was the one that was wrong because we were on a holiday. Of course we're going to drink. That's what we're going to do. We're here to go and party and drink and whatever else. And I just remember that he said that to me all these years back because I remember saying to him, saying, mate, I don't know if you remember you said that to me. It's only now that I've knocked the booze in the head that quote and what it all that thing that he said to me means so much. And
oh yeah,
like just things like I used to be, you just go out and it's be like, right, you're getting anxious and twitchy about where the first drink's going to come from. You get the first drink and it's like, oh, the queue at the bar's really big, right? I better judge when the first one's going down, but yeah. Or go on a festival. Oh, because the amount of times I go on a festival and you miss half the acts, or you can't remember the bloody afternight the next day, and you come back after 3 or 4 days and you go, oh, that was incredible. But you kind of, the big change for me moving into into going alcohol free and then kind of then embracing life, not drinking, was how much better all these events could be. And I've kind of chucked myself into the events. I'm a West Ham football fan. We win a trophy once every millennium. And luckily we won a trophy last year and went out to Prague. There's about 40,000, 50,000 West Ham fans all boozing up, all having the time of their lives. And I had the time of my life, but I didn't need to drink. And I would have never gone away to West Ham, be it to East London, to up north somewhere, or to Prague and not drink. Drinking and football went hand in hand, and that didn't matter if I was watching West Ham, a beer after playing football. I think that's the biggest challenge that we face with society, and shows like you say about blokes and young blokes and anyone of any age really, in terms of just it. I feel like drinking is so hardwired into our society and it's ingrained in our behaviour of what we do. And I think that's been the biggest eye opener to myself in terms of I've kind of, even though I talk for England, I've kind of shied away in that first year. And probably the truth of why I've not joined many Zooms in the first year, I could give the excuse I'm busy, the young kids, the work and whatever else. But I've kind of will be happy just to sit in the background from in this community, in the wider sobriety community, and listen to others. But I feel like right from what we said from the start, what I've done is, my situation was quite normal. There was a rock bottom, but it wasn't like a crazy, crazy rock bottom. But there was just behavior and bad events over a number of years that reached that rock bottom.
Yeah.
And thank God that happened, because that made me change. And I just think even now, if we can get on a podcast and speak to yourselves and start speaking to people and spreading that word about, look, you can be different. It hasn't got to be this way, because I was probably middle of the road, maybe a little bit worse than middle of the road. So if there's a lot of people that are the same as me, a little bit not as extreme or a little bit worse, and we can help those people and we can show another way, because yeah, it's been a game changer in terms of how great life has been. Like I've done things like my eldest son took him to a festival, and honestly, when you think of what before, Shaz, like you said before, drinking defines you and what gives you the most pleasure in life back when you're drinking. And it is all based around the booze and drinking. Oh, we got drunk. Oh, we can't remember this. That happened. The best day of my life last year was literally taking Theo, our eldest son. We've got the other two little ones looked after, myself and my wife, and took Theo away. I kind of listened to all different genres of music, but kind of rap and hip hop doesn't really go well in the car with all the swearing. So I've kind of resorted to my other favourite of rock and indie and got him into a few bands, and one of which was Razorlight. And we took him to this gig. It was in the middle of nowhere, a couple of hour drive. The old me would have never gone drive to a festival, not drink all day. Oh, I won't take Theo because, well, I'll go to a festival where I can go uptown and get pissed all day and go with a few of the boys, whatever else. But honestly, last year, aside maybe from West Ham winning that European trophy, taking Theo on this, this is not recorded now.
No, it's fine. Nobody will know.
and taking Nicola, my wife, and Theo to this concert. We all absolutely loved it. And just the joy and the buzz that he got out for it, having him on my shoulders right at the front and witnessing it all, and that kind of cheesy thing of dialing in more to the music than ever before than you would be when you've not had a drink and just loving it so much, and just walking back to that car and that drive back home was just, he was so excited and so happy, and it just made me so proud. And I was just like, it was kind of, yeah, this is why I'm doing this. And it doesn't have to be, it's that, I think you guys mentioned it on the premium pod or one of the pods of the last week in terms of that word sober. And I'm really deliberating what I feel about the word sober. I think sometimes when you say to people, oh, I don't drink, I'm sober, or they might say you're sober, I think it can be led to a negative, or like I think, Ben, you mentioned on the podcast in terms of sober can be seen as boring, dull, doesn't do much. Where like you've both said, and like everyone in the community says, it opens up your life to everything. And I never would have had those amazing events last year if I didn't change that behaviour. So, yes, it was amazing.
Love that so much.
You are so likable, Dan.
You are such a nice guy. So like, lovely.
I see. Like, Shaz has got a massive smile on her face. All community members watching are all smiling away. Have you always been like this? Like, have you always been this enthusiastic about life?
Yeah, annoyingly, I think I have. Look,
it's just being alcohol-free just ramped it.
Yeah, I think so. I've always been, I think I'm one of those people that's quite passionate. I think, get me on a football pitch and I'm the complete opposite. I turn into a little nutcase who wants to win the game and whatever else. But luckily, my Achilles tendon sorted me out, so I need to grow up and not play as much football anymore. But yeah, I have been. And look, I'm probably painting this amazing picture of how positive and happy I am. But there's been dark days in terms of, I don't know if you'd call it depression. I don't know if you call it a real low period. But that last year or two, kind of from COVID times through that over the last year or two, I was probably portraying this, maybe not as much as this, but I was probably portraying a version of how I'm coming across to everyone in life. But then behind closed doors with your close family and your friends and stuff, I probably wasn't as positive. So I feel I've always have been that kind of positive character and kind of, you want to live, you've only got one life and I feel like you need to live it. But on the flip side, I'm also that first person who've had a bit of a shitty day, or the kids are driving you mad and you're shouting at the kids and you can't be arsed doing this, doing that. Trust me, I have my moments, but in general, I try and be positive. And I think the big thing for me now is I feel with what you guys have created is absolutely incredible. And I think, like I said in my email, the best accolade I can give to yourselves is that consistency element. You're there every week putting out content, being here. You guys are exactly like that. You're positive. You probably have days that are dreadful and you've got work and you've got family commitments and everything else. And the fact that you guys come on here every week with a podcast, even though everyone will tell you how amazing it is and how great it is, you'll never truly understand the impact it has to everyone, be it those early days in week one, week two, month or two, all the way through to even me now. I go on the OTI app every day. And I'll check comments. And even I've hardly ever spoke to anyone on the community. There's people that are brilliant, like Freddie. Her posts in the early days for me about going out and doing festivals and bits like that were incredible. I've never spoke to him, but Niall, I love Niall's posts. That guy, if I can talk, that guy can write. Wow, he's incredible. Like, he put Shakespeare to shame. And honestly, but I think he put a post up in terms of when he went on a lad's trip and how he embraced not drinking and how great that is. And it took me about an hour to talk about everyone's names in the post and how great it is. But that's massive, because where I've kind of kept myself distant and I've not gone to events, I've not done the mountains and all this stuff that I want to do, being on the community and dialing in to the podcasts, going onto the forum is helps you every day. And when you have those bad days, it massively helps.
Getting moshed, don't I? You know what happens, Ben, when people say nice things about OTI and the pod and the community, it tips me every single time. But when you emailed us, Dan, and then I saw your post in the forum, I thought, who's this? Who's this? And I don't mean that in a rude way, because you've said yourself you use the forum and the community in the way that works for you, and that is so important to do that. And I read it and I thought, this is brilliant. This is fantastic. And as Ben said earlier, you're an ordinary fella. You're just a normal bloke, and your story will be replicated 1,000 times over and then 1,000 times more. But not everybody makes a change for whatever reason, you know, and some people just keep going and think, oh, and they ignore it. And every credit to you for doing that. I'd had a point then, and then my bloody menopause brain kicks in, and I'm like, what was I actually going to say?
This is why you got a co-host. I can jump in if you need me to.
Go for it, Ben.
Because I want to ask, Dan, in terms of your lovely email, you said that year two, I've got so many ideas with the growth of the day-to-day business, also finally getting up a mountain, and possibly looking at coaching to support young men and dads with children with disability. How are we doing that then, Dan?
Amazing.
God, when you even read that out, I think to myself, how am I bloody going to do that? But but do you know what? I think as that month on month ticked by, I was like, I do want to help. I feel like I could give something back. And it is that kind of, like you both say that, every person in terms of a lot of people going through this. And just because, like we all know, you remove alcohol and everything changes in terms of business is going well, obviously ups and downs all the time of any work, doesn't matter what kind of business you're in or what corporate environment, whatever else, but things are going well, a little bit of luck and a little bit of good stuff in terms of the day-to-day things, but also I'm there every day and I'm getting up, I'm active, I've got energy, I'm ready to go. And that kind of translates to my family life, to everything that I want to do. And kind of year two onwards for me is exactly what you said in terms of, I do want to try and give back. I have discovered that I can chat and I can talk and I've got something to give back. And maybe I might need to learn how to listen a bit better than talk if I want to become a life coach. But but
that's,
I do
what
feel
freaked,
like...
freaked me out completely, Dan. they said, yeah, Sharon, you've got to listen for 80% of the time and talk for 20. And I went, well, I can't do it then, can I?
That's going to be my biggest bloody challenge. But I feel like, because exactly like you both say, there are thousands upon thousands, if not more, people out there in that similar situation to we were, to where I was personally. And with kind of my life and how hard things are sometimes, like touching on life. So we've got three beautiful young boys, 8, 5 and 3, and Mason, our middle child, 5, has got a learning disability. He's got autism and life is tough. Like with me and my wife really struggle. We've got a good support network of family and friends and as much support as we can get. But it really, really is tough in terms of lack of sleep, in terms of hygiene, in terms of one-to-one care that he needs at school and how erratic things can be. He's a beautiful, lovely little boy, but he can't speak. We're only getting him toilet trained. He's coming on to 6 years old in the summer. And you just never expect it, do you? People go through a lot of hardship in life and it's so, so tough, but we never realise how hard it is going to be. And kind of that has really got me to my breaking point. And it's like, well, do you know what? I've got through that. I've quit the booze. I've turned my life around, which isn't an exaggeration, which it massively has in terms of where I am now to how happy I am to where I was previously. I've turned my life around day to day and I feel like I'd love to give something back. I used to work in a corporate world for 10, 15 years. I started off in like consultancy and insurance and whatever else. Sounds a bit glamorous, but I was a postroom lad pushing postroom trolleys around and delivering mail for a number of years and fell into facilities management and when my career went in that path. And that and it's maybe not as bad as it used to be in the late 90s, early 2000s and onwards, but every sector there, and I think every podcast I listen to, no matter what guest you get on, whatever sector, whatever industry they're in, oh, that's a big bloody drinking circle, that is. And it's because we're all bloody, it's all ingrained in society. And I feel like I could help there in the corporate environment. And I'd love to be able to coach and help people there. I listened to Andy Ramage, one of the first podcasts I listened to. He's incredible. I've looked into his course and whatever else. And I had to put it off at the start of this year with life being a bit crazy. And I've kind of promised myself that if I can later this year or worst case end of the year, I want to try out coaching, get qualified in it, give it a go and see where I can help. And then if that can lead on in terms of supporting parents and young dads, young mums with kids that have got learning disabilities and autism, because quitting booze was the best thing I could do, because not only did it help me all around in life, where me and my wife can feel isolated at times in terms of the life that we live in, we look around at all our friends and everyone in general, we can't just drop everything. Everyone's got it hard with kids anyway, but we've got that extra added layer of complexity where life is very tough for us. We don't really get a break. We don't sleep much, depending on how he's sleeping. So I feel like everything that I've learned over this last year, I can put into practice. So again, another 20-minute answer when you probably only needed a 2-minute answer. but yeah, in a nutshell, I would love to try and help support. Obviously, I've got the company that I work for and looking to grow that and really do well there and take that from strength to strength. And if I can then work side by side in giving something back and trying to help people, then that'd be amazing.
And you know what? You'd be ace Dan Ringshaw from Essex. You'd be absolutely flipping brilliant. That went fast, didn't it? That went really fast. We're out of time, Dan. From myself and Ben, huge congrats on 365. It has been a transformative year. And thank you for sharing about your wife and children as well. It's an absolute joy to hear about your family. And I can imagine how proud they are as well, you know, especially as an amazing alcohol-free dad and husband now. So well done you. Dan, thank you. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you so much. And just a little funny story to end with in terms of my friend that commented on my Australia behaviour. We haven't gone away for a few years as a group of lads. And he said, look, we've not been away for a while. Let's get something done. Let's get away. I used to organise a lot of stuff. And he's like, look, I organise stuff as well. Leave it to me. I'm like, great. It's going to be a long weekend out in the sun somewhere. I've not got to worry about drinking. I can sit around the pool all weekend and have an amazing time. And this is a few months back. He sends out a message on the group. Lads, it's all booked. Butlin's in Bognor, garage weekend. It's going to be a massive session all long weekend. So the biggest thing that I can say to that is probably a year ago or 6-9 months ago, I would have looked at that and shuddered and think there's no way I can do that. There's no way I can go away where 99% of that population are going to be pissed out of their heads. I have now got the confidence that with the help of OTI, this community, and the work I've done with myself over this last year, I can go there and smash that and I can have a great time. I'm talking about where they're going to do a booze brunch. I might go and have a little hot tub or spa while they do that, but I can go and embrace that, embrace that, do the dancing, do the sober dancing, and massively enjoy myself and come back for that weekend, not an absolute state and a wreck, and look at it and go, I've enjoyed that. But thank you for everything, because honestly, without yourselves, because I literally kept myself under a rock for this last year, honestly, without yourselves, I don't know if I'd have got through it in terms of, I might have, without getting that, without speaking to people, you'd never know what would have happened. So thank you so much.